Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech will by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit enjoy the Spirit.
One of our guest ministers is in Atlanta. He couldn't come because of the COVID restrictions. But we're hoping the whole thing would have gone down, but it didn't go down. And so we said, okay, let's do a Zoom meeting and see how it goes. Praise the Lord. We have Reverend Femi Aguirre is based in Atlanta, Georgia. Agape Covenant Ministries. I've known Reverend Femi Aguirre from uni like this. He was our senior and also, you know, a person who put us through the things that were spiritual. I had him come to Akure when I was in Agape. Pastor, you should remember Femi Aguirre, his own prophetic gift. I've not seen the tie before. He shared one testimony that really blew me. Technical, let me know so I can bring him up. You are smiling, sir. Can you hear me, sir? He used to train us at the sports center in Unilag. He used to do a lot of prayer and all that. He really helped us. I remember we had problem with the... At the time... That was I don't know whether I still remember. The chapel was in building for years and it was not going forward. And we're together at the sports center and he asked us pray. He gave the word that the thing that was starting to were delaying that and stopping it. And he gave the word and we prayed about it as he asked us to pray. And a few months after, the whole thing kicked off and they finished that cathedral, that Christian something that we hold now. It was instrumental for that thing becoming reality. So he has proof. Praise God. And I've told him when he comes to Nigeria, he has to come to Akure. He must make a visit to Akure. Hallelujah. So, Reverend Femi, I agree you are welcome. I'm not getting feedback. Can you hear me? He's speaking. We can't hear him. Praise the Lord.
We can hear you.
We can hear me, sir. All right. Once again, welcome.
Hallelujah.
I want to hand over the microphone to you. And you can take it from there.
Okay.
All right, sir.
Praise God forevermore.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Can you hear me now? Praise God. Can I get a feedback? I want to be sure you're hearing me. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we are so grateful to you tonight. We give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. We give you the honor. We give you the adoration. We give you the magnification. There is no God like you. And there would never be any God like you. You are awesome in power. You are mighty in walking. The God that was and is and evermore shall be. The beginning before the beginning. The Ancient of Days. The introduction. The conclusion. The inception. The culmination. The everlasting God. The origin before the origin. Blessed be your name. The paternity of eternity. The Lord God with the miracle in the palace of wonder, the one that does great things which are past finding out. The Lord who is here, the Lord who is there. Jehovah Shammah, the ever-present God, the omnipotent, the omniscient, the Lord Almighty, Almighty, the Generalissimo, the man of war, the God who has never lost the battle, the field marshal, the Areonoka Kamfor, the mighty God who prevails from victory to victory. We bow before you tonight. We exalt you with many praises. We bring forth adulation. We bring forth exaltation. We bring forth magnification, because there is no God like you. Father, we ask for your mercy again. Thank you for the first session. Thank you for your word that came with clarity, with simplicity, with dexterity, with accuracy. Father, we are trusting you again to help us. Open my mind, open my mouth, anoint my tongue with fire, that it may roll like the pen of a ready writer. Let your word come unto your people expressly, like a sweet missile. Let it minister grace to every hearer. Let it accomplish the assignment that you have appointed for it tonight. Let your word not return to you void, but let it bring forth manifestations, and let it bring forth demonstrations. Let it minister salvation to those that need salvation. Let it minister restoration for every backslider. Let it minister hope for those who are depressed and discouraged. Let it minister exaltation for those that are cast down. Let it bring forth fruitfulness for everyone that is barren in any form, in any shape. Let it bring forth emancipation for those that are bound. Father, we declare tonight, your word cannot, shall not return to you void, but it shall be an effectual messenger affecting the people that it has been sent to. So let your word prevail, and let your word be magnified. And as your word is magnified, let Jesus be exalted. Holy Spirit of the living God, we yield ourselves completely to you. And we pray that tonight you would exalt Jesus and you would magnify the Father. Father, we thank you. To you be all the praise. Because by reason of this weekend, you are causing us to gravitate from one level to another, from one dimension to another, to a higher plane of operation. For so it is appointed unto us that we should be a people of power. Let it manifest. Let it begin now, from this very night, and let your name be glorified. Thank you, blessed Father. To you be all the praise. To you be all the glory. To you be all the honor. To you be all the majesty. To you be all the adoration. In Jesus' mighty name we are prayed. And the house of God said, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I cannot hear, and I'm seeing an error message. I want to be sure that I'm not talking to myself. I need a feedback.
Praise the Lord. Can you hear me, sir? Hello, can you hear me, Reverend?
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
I can hear you, but I can't see anybody, and I get error.
Okay,
you can hear me, and you can see me. We'll just go ahead.
Yes.
Amen. Tell Brother Mike, he should try and communicate with me by WhatsApp, so that I would know everything is going on fine. Okay, I can see you now.
Okay.
I couldn't for a while, but I can see you now.
Okay.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. Praise God. Okay. I'd like to say big thanks to Pastor Sheyi for the privilege to minister God's word to us tonight, and to be a blessing. And of course, to be blessed.
Amen.
When you yield yourself to the Holy Spirit and you're blessing God's people, you will be blessed yourself.
Yes.
And my wife sends her greetings. Our children, too, they send their greetings. We've been praying for the meeting, and thank God for the opportunity and the privilege to bring forth the word of life tonight.
Hallelujah.
Tonight, we'll be talking about the power of the kingdom. And by God's special grace, tomorrow night, we will talk about how to access and live in the power of the kingdom.
Hallelujah.
Well, let us lay some foundations tonight. I remember when I was in the university, we had this popular chorus, "Kingdom come by power, kingdom come." The kingdom is supposed to manifest with power, because the kingdom of God and power are synonymous with one another. It is so sad that today we're preaching the kingdom without the power. It's an anomaly, it's an aberration. And by the special grace of God, there will be a change. There will be a transformation concerning that matter. Our commission is to invade the world with God's kingdom. When his world invades ours, change would occur. We have only seen a glimpse of his kingdom. But thank God, there is more of that kingdom that we can see and that we shall see. I want you to understand tonight, brethren, that God introduced the kingdom with power. So if you are not walking in the power, if you are not living in the power, if you are not manifesting the power, it is something that should be of concern to you. It should bother you. It should affect you. It should mean something to you that you are not walking in the power that Jesus walked in, that the apostles walked in, that the early fathers walked in. It is God's purpose. It is God's plan. It is God's will that the kingdom should always be introduced with the power of God. Let us read first of all from Mark chapter 9, and we're going to read from verse 11. And he said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, that there be some of them that stand here, we shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power." Let me read it from the Amplified, the same verse. Mark chapter 9, verse 1 in the Amplified version. And Jesus said to them, "I assure you and most solemnly say to you, there are some of those who are standing here who will not taste or experience death before they see the kingdom of God after it has come with power." So the Lord Jesus Christ himself testified that the kingdom was to come with power. And constantly we see that the kingdom of God, as it is being manifested, as it is being introduced, is always associated with the power of the living God. Now, isn't it strange that these days we are preaching, we're introducing the kingdom without the accompanying power? It should bother us. It should worry us. It should nettle us. It should affect us. This kingdom is associated with power. And it is God's intention that this power should show forth more than ever before. Because the glory of the latter house is greater than that of the former. This was why Jesus told them to tarry at Jerusalem until the endowment of power from on high. They already had worked with Jesus for 3.5 years. They had seen the workings of miracles. They had seen the gifts of healings. They had seen diverse signs and wonders. And you would have thought that they were ready after his resurrection to go forth and proclaim the kingdom and to proclaim that Jesus was the Messiah. But he said to them, "It is so important that you will not go forth to proclaim the kingdom without the power. So you must wait for the endowment of power from on high." And that was why he told them to tarry at Jerusalem until the day of Pentecost. Luke chapter 24, verse 49. And you must remember that at the very early stage of the church and the introduction of the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, that it started with power. You remember immediately after Pentecost, in fact, Pentecost Day itself, there was a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And there was visible sign of tongues of fire. Not only that, they began to speak in tongues. They began to speak in utterance. And people around them could hear. They spoke, but the Spirit gave them the ability to speak. Like Pastor was saying earlier on, there are diversities of tongues. There are dimensions of tongues. And thank God, some of us have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and we're speaking in other tongues. But I want you to know, you can go to a higher level. You can so go to a greater grade. There is the initial evidence of speaking in tongues. But there's also the diversity of tongues. There's also the public ministry of tongues. There's also the demonstration of tongues. Those of you who have associated with me would have seen a bit of that in my ministry and the grace of God that is upon my life. And I know by the Holy Ghost, as I've been praying for this meeting, that you would open up your heart and you would allow the words that will come to you to be mixed with faith, your tongue is going to change. You are going to get to another level of the Holy Ghost. Even right now, I'm hearing the Spirit of God saying, Lemai kandubie trastandahai, malidye govazina, prestandahai, malidno vazisazon, say, praise Dion, talit de Zion, nedrastantabi de glivadis, mopadion dai, mahasasenzena, mombrus de gavito no provistano, majon taxazai, le etresta budofiglivion, tantasize, presazon, shadet naviando, mahangliviet srustanemai, enufudrestampodane nidana, na flusion frazon, abundance of laughter. Yea, the Spirit of God is saying, if you would attempt to come beyond where you are, I will take you further. For there is more in the things of God, in the dimensions of the mysteries of the Most High. I will open unto you vistas of the Holy Spirit, and I will cause you to drink afresh of my waters. For yea, there is a refreshing that cometh from the Spirit, and there's an anointing that comes by the encounter of the Holy Ghost. For yea, I desire to draw you closer to myself and cause you to drink of my fountain and cause sorrows to depart. And as you drink to the full, for your mouth to be filled with the abundance of laughter. Yea, I'm saying to you this night that God can show you another dimension of the supernatural that you have never seen before. But God wants us to emphasize tonight that He wants a people of power. He wants a people of demonstration. And it was this demonstration of power that manifested on the day of Pentecost and thousands were born again. It was also this demonstration of power that we see at the inception of the apostolic ministry of Paul and Barnabas. Paul used to be called Saul. And you see that story in Acts chapter 13. You start reading from verse 6 to 12. It was this demonstration of power that brought Sagos Paulus into the kingdom of God. This is the kind of power demonstration that we need to shut the mouths of all the plethora of false prophets that are bestriding the ecclesiastical stage in Nigeria at the moment. If I am amazed on a daily basis, looking at the different postings of false prophets in the nation of Nigeria. It was not like that when we were there years ago, but it's so common now. So many people calling them prophets, calling themselves prophets of God, but they are agents of darkness. They are false prophets. They are magicians pretending to be servants of God, but they have not been checked. Nobody has been able to withstand them as Paul withstood these false prophets taught by Jesus. Let's just look at this for a moment, and we might get to talk about this later on. I'm reading from Acts chapter 13, verse 6 to 12. And when they had gone through the eye unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar Jesus. Like I said, there are many of them in Nigeria today. They are called by different kinds of names. They call themselves prophets of the Lord. They use the name of Jesus, but he does not even know them. And look at the seventh verse, which was, he was the deputy of the country, a man called Sergius Paulus, a prudent man who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. Verse 8, but Elimas, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. I remember some time ago, I was invited to minister at a particular fellowship for one of these synthetic cults in Lagos. You know, one of these Jajawura churches. Well, you call them Alajura, so that you know exactly what I'm talking about. But I call them Jajawura because their tongue, it sounds like Jajawura. So these people, some of them, came to know the Lord. And they now had a fellowship. They didn't leave the church, but they had their own fellowship that met, I believe it was on Tuesday. The IG of police way back then was a member of that fellowship. And he also had a fellowship in his house. So one time they invited me to minister at his fellowship. And after he heard me minister, and the spirit of the prophetic began to manifest, he said, my God, he is a real prophet, different from the prophets in our church. So he said, oh, by the way, we have this fellowship on Tuesday, which is part of the church, but yet not part of the church. Would you mind coming to minister to us? And I said, well, if the Lord tells me to come, I will come. He had told me from the time he called me, I've called you to the body of Christ. And I've called you to everywhere my name is mentioned. So I said, wherever they mention the name of Jesus, whether they are real or not, I will go there. So I prayed about it. The Lord said to go. So I went to that meeting, that Tuesday, I remember, the Spirit of the Lord came upon me. And I began to minister. And I began to dismantle all the things they were doing in that church. Because I was a member of that church for like 10 years, you know, because my guardians were attending that church. I was quite young. I had no choice but to go with them. So I knew certain things they did there. And I was showing them from the Word of God why those things were contrary to the Bible. And then I began to talk about the power of God. And one of their prophetess there was so mad. She said, who is this man that is coming to dismantle and destroy what the founder had established for so many decades? That she's going to, because she's an opinion leader, she said she's going to come up and grab the microphone from me, call me a false prophet, just generally turn the meeting upside down. As she was thinking it in her mind, the Holy Ghost told me. And I said, there's somebody here. This is what you are planning to do. I dare you, if you know that of a truth, your power is of God, I dare you to stand up from wherever you are and come towards me. And she stood up. But by the time she took the second step, that was all she remembered. The power of God knocked her down. She started screaming, all the demons in her were shouting that they want to go. I said, you're not going anywhere. You are dared to tempt the power of God and confront the power of God. Today, God will make a public display of you. So they were being tormented. She was screaming. Of course, she wasn't the one being tormented. The demons in her were being tormented. And in fact, the whole meeting just scattered. People couldn't believe it. So I told them, I said, no, sit down. We didn't come for display of demons. We came for the preaching of the word. I want you to sit down and hear the word. This is the power that I'm telling you about. Power passes power. And I want you to know, in the next few minutes, even till tomorrow, till Sunday, this power that passes power will be manifested in your midst. Chains will be broken. Yokes will be shattered. Whether they are yokes of wood, yokes of brass, yokes of clay, yokes of iron, they will be broken into smithereens. You will see them no more, as the Lord God liveth. And this woman, that night, gave her life to Christ. Because she said, I don't know what came on me. I took the first step, the second step. That was what all I remember. It was as if somebody gave me a terrible punch and I became unconscious. I am telling you, brethren, this power is available today. We cannot talk about the kingdom without talking about the power. And this woman became a very powerful disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. She was a magistrate when I met her. She was later on promoted to be a judge. And she became an evangelist herself. And she, till today, she's still serving the Lord. I want you to know something, brethren. When there's a demonstration of power like this, it is easy to preach the gospel. People cannot argue against it. They cannot gainsay it. This is what happened when Saul and Barnabas came to Paphos. And they met this by Jesus. Let's quickly read the story and then we'll go on to talk about some other things. But Elimas, verse 8, the sorcerer, who was also, for so is his name by interpretation, was also called by Jesus, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O fool of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, will thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Verse 12, then the deputy, when he saw what was done, oh my God, I pray that in this age that you and I live in, there will be more of seeing. People will see that which the Holy Ghost is doing, and that which the Holy Ghost has done, and that which the Holy Ghost can do. He said, when the deputy Sergius Paulus saw what was done, he believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. One translation says, being astonished at the power of the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20. For the kingdom of God does not consist in words, but in power. Then again, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20 NLT. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. The kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. I want you to realize tonight, brethren, that Jesus set the pattern that you and I should follow. Somebody said that Jesus was the pattern son. Folks acknowledge again and again that Jesus' ministry was attested to by the power of God. And the same is expected of you, the same is expected of me. Matthew chapter 9, verses 6 to 8. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then said he to the sick of the palsy. You remember that man, the paralytic man, that was carried by four of his friends and placed in front of Jesus. Jesus said, thy sins be forgiven thee. They said, who is this? If this is blasphemous, how can he forgive sin when he's not God? But they did not know that the Son of Man was the embodiment of power. He had all manner of powers in him, manifesting through him. He had the power to forgive sins. He had the power to heal the sick. He had the power to expel demons. He had the power to perform miracles. He had the power to suspend nature. He had the power to accelerate nature. He had the power to reverse nature. He was the embodiment of divine power. And they didn't understand. They said, who is this one? But he had the power to forgive sins, so that you may know. He said to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed and go into thine house. And he arose and departed to his house. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. And the amazing thing, brethren, is that that power is still available. That power is still present. Well, let me say it more correctly. That power is still present in the church. It is not always available. We would understand some more tomorrow night. Why is it that even though power is present in our gathering together, it is not always available? Why is it that? Because Jesus said so. He said, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am in the midst of them. If Jesus is in the midst of us, power is in the midst of us. Then why is power not always manifested, even though it is the power is in the midst of us? The embodiment of power always gathers with us, always fellowships with us. by reason of calling upon his name, we invite him into our gathering. But his presence is not always manifested. His presence does not always show forth. His power is not always available. Very simple reason. The Bible says in the book of James, chapter 5, it said, confess your faults and your sins to one another. It said, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man maketh tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. I was quoting from the Amplified Version. When men pray the way they should pray, this power becomes available. You need to understand, as we are gathered together tonight, the radio station, the TV station are broadcasting. But we don't know what they're saying. We can't hear because we are not connected to their frequency. But their message is in the atmosphere. The images they're projecting is in the midst of your church right now. But we can't see. We don't know because we're not connected. Though the message is present, it's not available to us. We can make it available when we connect to them by means of the TV or a radio or a transistor radio or something. The same way, power is always present. But some things need to be done to make it available, to make it visible, to make it manifest. And we're going to talk about that tomorrow as the Lord God would help us. You see, it was not surprising that the ministry of Jesus was accompanied by the demonstration, the manifestation of power. And you remember, at the very beginning of his message, what was the message of Jesus? He said, the kingdom of heaven has come. The kingdom of God has come. The predecessor, John the Baptist, the forerunner, was saying, get ready. The kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is about to manifest. But when the kingdom himself began to minister, he said, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you. And it came with power. Because even before it started, he was anointed with power. Luke chapter 4, verse 14. The Bible says, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit unto Galilee. And there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. Luke chapter 4, verse 32. The consequence of the Spirit being upon Jesus. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you should be filled with power. When you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, you should walk in the power. You should minister in the power. You should preach in the power. You should teach in the power. And I'm going to teach us by the Holy Spirit how we can unleash this power on a daily basis, on a regular basis. And let me just say something to you, brethren. This power is not reserved only for preaching time. It's not only reserved for fellowship time in the church when we gather together. This power should manifest in your home. This power should manifest in your offices. This power should manifest in your businesses, your establishment. It should manifest on the street corner. It should manifest in the marketplace. It should manifest wherever a child of God is present. This power is a demonstration and attestation to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it must happen anywhere. And it can happen anywhere. That is the will. That is the intention of the Father. It's not only in church that we should see the cripple walk. It's not only in church that the secrets in people's hearts should be revealed. It's not only in church that we should see the blind see or on the crusade ground. It should happen on Monday morning in your office so that people will know that Jesus is alive. It should happen when you're in a board meeting, a secular meeting, where nothing is even being spoken about the Bible, but God wants to demonstrate himself, show that he's God, show that the kingdom is here. Somebody should come under conviction, even in a board meeting. Oh, I can tell you, brethren, I've seen things in decades of working with God. I've seen the Spirit of God show forth in places I least expected. Like Pastor was telling us earlier on, all he needs is a yielded vessel. If you are yielded, he will use you. If you submit yourself to Satan, he will use you. Likewise with the Holy Ghost. If you submit yourself, you tell whatever spirit, whatever force that you are available to be used, you'll be used. Demons use people because they make themselves available. Likewise, the Holy Ghost. If you make yourself available to the Holy Ghost, he will use you. But the problem is there are not many yielded vessels in the house of God. He wants to do much more. He wants to show much more. He wants to demonstrate much more. But we are the ones that are limiting the Almighty. Can you imagine that? Jehovah, the one that is called unlimited, can be limited by the sons of men. Jesus came to his hometown in spite of all the places where he demonstrated the supernatural, where he had worked in the manifestation of the powers of the world to come. When he got to his hometown, he could not perform many miracles because their unbelief limited the Almighty God. Their unbelief limited the Messiah. The Bible says in the book of Psalm, it said that even though the sons of Ephraim are carrying bows and arrows, they turn back in the days of battle. He said they murmured, they grumbled, and they limited the Holy One of Israel. It is possible to limit the unlimited. It is possible to limit Jehovah unlimited. But I'm praying and I'm asking God. I've been praying for days now. Even with fasting, I've been praying. I said, Lord, break away from us. Take away from us the limitations that were placed upon you. Father God, as we gather together this weekend, let every limitation of the mind be shattered into pieces. Let every ancestral limitation, the limitations of tradition, the limitations of religion, the limitations of humanity be taken out of the way so that it can break forth upon us like waters. And I know that the Spirit of the Lord would honor that prayer. Look at Luke chapter 4, verse 36. He says again, and they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and power, he commanded the unclean spirit and they came out. Luke chapter 9, verse 43. And as he was yet a coming, the devil threw him down and tore him. And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again to his father. And they were all amazed at the mighty power of God. But while they wondered, everyone at all things which Jesus did, he said unto his disciples, hallelujah. Brethren, I'm telling you today, he gave the disciples power. And he has given us the same power. He's not a partial God. He's no respecter of people. What he did with them, he wants to do with us, and he can do with us. Because you can't and you shouldn't proclaim the kingdom without accompanying power. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. And when he had called unto his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. He said, you shall receive the same power. They shall receive power if they wait at Jerusalem until the day of Pentecost. The waiting was for Pentecost. That's why today you don't have to go to Jerusalem to wait. I don't have to go to Jerusalem to wait. You don't have to tarry for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There's another kind of tarrying that God wants you to do, but it's not for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you are not filled with the Holy Spirit, even as I'm speaking to you now, you can be filled tonight. As this meeting comes to an end, you can be baptized in the Holy Ghost. You don't have to wait for 3 days. You don't have to wait for 7 days. You don't have to wait for 21 days. You can receive right now. The waiting in this particular context had to do with the fulfillment of the coming of the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. Moses saw this day ahead. When he encountered the burning bush, Moses walked in the shadow, but they walked in the fulfillment. Moses walked in the type. Moses saw the type, but they saw the substance. Because he said, I saw a bush, and it was on fire, but it was not consumed. This bush was the trees of righteousness. On the day of Pentecost, that tongues of fire came upon. They were blazing with fire, but they were not consumed. And I want you to understand, brethren, that God is saying to you and I that we also, we should be filled with the Spirit. But I want you to know something, brethren, that the evidence of the Holy Spirit baptism is not just tongues, but power. And it is time to move from the tonguing line to the power line. We used to say that when I was in the university. And it came to me again as I was praying and preparing for this meeting. God wants you to move from the tonguing line to the power line. Thank God for tongues. Thank God for ability to speak. Thank God for the ability to speak diverse kinds of tongues. But God wants you to move from there to something more. He did not say they shall receive tongues after that the Holy Spirit has come upon them. He said they shall receive power. You shall receive power. The ability to speak in tongues is just an exercise, just jara. The real thing, the real McCoy is the ability to walk in the power of the Holy Ghost. You need that power to become an effective witness. Brethren, if you have just been satisfied because you are filled with the Holy Spirit and you spoke in tongues for 45 minutes or spoke in tongues for 1 hour or spoke in tongues for more than that, I'm telling you, brethren, there's still something missing. You need to walk in the power. Men of old used to pray. He said, oh, God, set me ablaze, set me on fire, and make the people like grass, so that when we come together, there will be a conflagration. There will be a bursting forth of flames. Oh, my God, that this will be our experience on a regular basis, not once in a while, not just at some special meetings. Oh, the Spirit came down. What a move of the Spirit. This can happen to us regularly. This can happen to us daily. This can happen to us frequently. This can happen to us all the time. And I'm believing God that after this meeting, you will not be satisfied. God will put a hunger, a thirst, a yearning, a longing, an appetite in you that nothing else will satisfy but the supernatural. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, for you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. But before we get too far, maybe I should say one or two things about the kingdom. What is the kingdom? Somebody said Jesus was the full embodiment of the kingdom of God. When you want to see the kingdom, when you want to understand the kingdom, look at Jesus. In short, the kingdom of God is where and when God's will is done. Jesus was the only person that fully demonstrated the will of God upon the earth. This is clear from the Lord's model prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Everywhere Jesus walked, the will of God was being done. Everywhere Jesus spoke, the will of God was being done. Everywhere Jesus ministered, the will of God was being done. So the kingdom of God is the will of God in manifestation. It is the will of God being demonstrated. It is the will of God being manifested, and being manifested in the midst of people. It is the will of God on earth. That's the kingdom of God. And then Paul said something else about the kingdom in Romans chapter 14, verse 17 to 18. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things, listen to this, serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let me ask you, is your life full of righteousness? Is your life full of peace? Is your life full of joy? Those three things, Paul said, anyone who says they're a child of the kingdom must serve God in a constant manifestation of them. Manifestation of righteousness, manifestation of peace, manifestation of joy. He said, for anyone that serves Christ in these three things is acceptable to God and approved of men. If you are not seeing these three things constantly in your life, you are not walking in the kingdom. You are not manifesting the kingdom. Everywhere you find yourself, everywhere God gives you an opportunity to get into, bear in mind, before I leave this place, righteousness must show forth. Peace must take over. Joy must come forth. Those three things constantly are the manifestation of the kingdom of God. But I wish I could go deep into this, but that's a message for another day. Hope I would have an opportunity to share with you. But you need to understand righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, that is the kingdom of God. Let me go back to the power, because I need to say one or two things before I round up tonight, and then we'll continue tomorrow as the Spirit of the Lord would help us. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation, but it will also be preached with power. You know, it almost sounds like a paradox. The gospel itself is the power of God, but the gospel must be preached with power. Look at what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 4 to 5. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Paul was erudite. He was eloquent. He was a man of revelation. He was a man of deep revelation. He had an understanding of the law like none of the apostles understood. Even Peter acknowledged, he said, there are some things Paul says that are difficult to understand. But Paul said, when I came to Corinth, I did not dwell in words. I did not elaborate on wisdom. I came to you in the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power of God. I could have preached to you. I could have told you revelation about Melchizedek. I could have told you about Enoch, who walked with God and disappeared. I could have told you the sublimity of the mysteries of the Garden of Eden, where there were two trees. Oh my God. There are things in the Word of God that would amaze you. I've read the Bible for almost 40 years, and I can tell you something. Every day, I find something new. I remember the other song last Sunday, it was when the house fellowship, we were reading from James, and James said, it's like a man who goes before a mirror and forgets what he looks like. And I said, oh, you mean they had mirror way back then, 2,000 years ago? I had read the Bible, I've read that scripture, only God knows how many times, never even occurred to me that they had mirrors in those days. And then that same morning, I was meditating in my quiet time, and I was reading from the book of Ezekiel, and God was telling Ezekiel, said, tell them, I'm dividing the priesthood into two, those that will minister to men and those that will minister to me. There are some people, they're ministers of the people, no problem, but they mustn't come near me, because if they do, they will die. But the house of Zadok will minister exclusively to me. The other priests, the other Levites, they can minister to the generality of the people, but they must not come near me. If they come near me, they will die. He said, and the house of Zadok, when they come, must come with fine linen, because I want them to enter into a sweatless ministry. I don't want them to minister sweating. There is a rest, beloved, for the children of God. You can minister in rest. Jesus is ministering in rest. He's still ministering, but he's rested. He's seated. You don't minister sitting down, but Jesus is ministering sitting down at the right hand of power on high, because there's a ministry of rest. That's what Paul was talking about in Hebrews. He said, there remaineth a rest for the people of God. For if Joshua had given them rest, then would he not have spoken of another day? So there's the brethren, there are mysteries. But that's not what I'm trying to say. What the Lord now said that shocked me was this. He said, because I don't want them to carry their holiness to go to the people, because it is dangerous for the people. I couldn't believe that. That's in the Bible, Ezekiel 44. God said, no, I don't want Zadok and his children and the priest in his category to go to the people, because they will carry their holiness to the people, and that is endangering the life of the people. Holiness can endanger people. That's why when people see God or see an angel of God in the Old Testament, they will say, I've seen God, I will surely die. There is a holiness that executes sin. And God said, no, I don't want you to go to them, because your holiness will contaminate them to destruction. So don't go near them, and they mustn't come near you, and they mustn't come near me. So Paul could have been talking about deep things of God. That's what I'm saying. Well, he said, when I came to you, I came in the demonstration of the Spirit and the power of God. Brethren, this should be our modus operandi. This should also be our own methods of operation. This is what should be uppermost in our hearts, that everywhere we go, there should be a demonstration of the power. Even if there's no demonstration as in the gifts of the Spirit, there should be a demonstration from the Word, because the Word itself has inherent power in it. And Paul, you know, so Paul was telling them that what is needed is power. So brethren, power was needed and was promised for the effective preaching of that gospel, whereby those who believe are translated into the kingdom of God and is their son. Colossians 1, 12 and 13 says that. That gospel which is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Paul said it in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Brethren, I want you to know that power passes power. The devil has a measure of power. I don't like talking about the devil because, unfortunately, in Nigeria, Satan has been magnified so much. People are more scared of the devil than they are reverential of God. For the years I used to come to Nigeria regularly, I was shocked to see the doctrine that is being preached in so many pulpits. It's somebody that's after you. It's somebody that's doing you. And it's usually a woman. It's either your mother, your mother-in-law, your sister-in-law, your auntie. Usually a woman that's behind your problems. But I want you to know something, brethren. Even if that person is an Oshodonga, there's a power that passes power. You know, I was ministering somewhere in Nigeria, and somebody said to me, Pastor, Prophet, I really need your prayers. I said, you would just say a simple word. God is all powerful. His word will take effect. I said, Prophet, Emma Village, you know, this is not a joke at all. I said, why? She said, they have shown me the person behind my problem. I said, who is that person? She mentioned the person is a woman again. And she said, she's a witch and she's not an ordinary witch. She was the one who educated me that day and said, there are categories of witches. There are yellow witches, there are purple witches, there are white witches, red witches, all kind of witches. They said, the Yoruba say there are some witches that are agudes, and there are some that are agudes, and there are some that are gudegudes. So this, my auntie, is an agudegude. I said, whether she's a gudegude or a gudeguda, God will gudelize the power in her, and you will be set free tonight. I mean, if really, it's even that person that is behind your problem. I said, there's a devil using her, whatever. And that devil will be brutalized tonight. It did not take the Holy Ghost 1 minute to set this woman free. Things were moving around her body. We prayed a very simple prayer. The thing just vanished. She was the one I'm looking for it. Said, sometimes in my breast, sometimes in my back, sometimes in my thigh. She was looking for it. That disappeared. The good was brutalized. There's power that passes power. That's the power that we're talking about. The power of the kingdom. A sister called me the other time. She's a medical doctor. She's actually a consultant at Lewis. And she said, Prophet, because, I mean, we're almost the same age and know each other forever. She said, you got to pray for me. I said, what's going on? She said, there are things moving around my body. I said, what kind of things? She said, they are metal. They're metallic. When I walk, I hear jingling sounds, metals clashing against one another. I said, the Lord will set you free. She called me from Nigeria. I was here in Atlanta. And she said, oh, I wish I knew where you came, because our brother is my very good friend. He's a pastor, one of my friend's branches in Abuja. And I was in his house, and she didn't know until I'd left. So I wish I had known you were in Abuja. I would have flown to meet you. I said, it doesn't matter. There's no distance in the realm of the Spirit. So I'm telling you tonight, there's no distance in the realm of the Spirit. Right there in Akure, where you are hearing me, the power will touch you and set you at liberty. The chains will be broken. The yokes will be dismantled. Doesn't matter what kind of yokes they are. Isaiah said, they might be yokes of wood, they might be yokes of brass, they might be yokes of clay, they might be yokes of iron, ancestral yokes, perpetual yokes, yokes of witchcraft, yokes of wizardry, doesn't matter what kind of yokes they are, they shall be broken by reason of the anointing, because it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. So I told her, are you sure? I said, yeah, I'm a medical doctor. I know this thing is not natural. They've even done x-rays. They've done MRI. They can't find anything in my brain or in my body. Nothing, but I hear the sound. Not only do I hear them, I feel them. And she said, I said, how did this thing begin? You know, something like Jesus would ask that question. How did this thing start? I asked her, how did this start? She said, one night I had a dream. And I saw a woman sitting on, a pathway on their village. And this woman sat in the middle of the road. And there was a bucket in front of her. And the person was backing me. But as I approached, she turned. And it was my mother. And she said, come and eat. I said, I'm not hungry. She said, no, you must eat. And what she wanted me to eat was in the bucket. When I looked inside the bucket, it was an iron pail. You know those iron buckets you have in Nigeria? And inside it were all kinds of metals. And she said, a power stronger than me made me fall down before her. And I started eating all the metals that were inside that bucket. When I woke up, the metal started jingling. And I prayed with her. And the Lord said, I pray. All the metallic sound ended. And the movement ceased, disappeared. It's over 2 years now. I spoke to her not too long. She sent me a text. Said, I'm still free, totally, completely free. I'm telling you tonight, brethren, there's no distance in the realm of the spirit. There's power in that name. And this power passes power. There is satanic power, I don't doubt that. There's the power of disease. There's the power of curses. But there's a power that surpasses them. That is what the magicians of Egypt discovered, Jannes and Jambres. The Bible says that when Moses threw down his rod, they threw down their own too, and it became serpents. And Moses' rod swallowed up all their serpents. That's even a miracle on its own. Moses' rod, not Moses' serpent. His rod had mouth and swallowed up the serpents. And then, everything Moses did, they replicated it. They duplicated it. And then there came a time God said, it is time to separate the boys from the men. It is time to separate Boy Scouts from soldiers. Let us know who is who. I'm making you a creator like I'm a creator. Go into the midst of Cairo. Take the rod of God in your hand. Beat it upon the dust. Let lice come out of it. And lice came out of the ground. And the magicians, even though their rods have been swallowed up, they are going to make new rods. That's the devil for you. They are going to make new rods. They beat their rods on the ground. Nothing happened. Exodus chapter 8, verse 19. And they said to Pharaoh, this is nothing but the finger of Jehovah. This is Akachuku. This is that hand that cannot be broken. This is the finger that rode upon the walls of Belshazzar's palace during the night of his disco. And the wine fled from his eyes. The Bible says loins were loose, and his knees began to fellowship with one another. When he saw what his eyes had never seen before. And the hand of Jehovah, that finger that wrote the Ten Commandments on tablets of stone like a chisel, wrote upon the walls of the palace, mene mene tekel of prasin. When you see something like, no matter how drunk you are, you become sober. The man, the wine, I like the way King James writes some things. He said the wine vanished from his face. It evaporated. And his knees began to fellowship with one another. Say, what is this? And the man brought, Daniel brought the interpretation. Your kingdom, you've been found wanting, you've been weighed in the balance, found wanting, and your kingdom has been taken from you. It has been given to the Medes and the Persians. Brethren, I'm telling you, there is a power that passes power. And that's the power we're talking about. This power of the kingdom passes power. They told Pharaoh, this was beyond us. This is the finger of Jehovah. Jesus said, if I, by the hand of God, cast out demons, then the kingdom of God is come upon you. The kingdom of God and the finger of God work together. The kingdom of God and the power of God work together. The kingdom of God and the spirit of God work together. And we're going to talk about the Spirit of God tomorrow night, as the Lord would help us by the Holy Ghost. So I want you to know something tonight, brethren. Power is vital in the age that we live in. It is because of power that five nations out of all the nations in the world are designated as the permanent members of the United Nations. Only five of them. Or the United Nations Security Council. Only five. And it's because of power. They are the only ones that have the privilege of veto powers. Why? Because they have a significant measure of military power, economic power, and political power. But all these powers are natural and physical powers. However, there is a surpassing power, which is supernatural in nature. This is the ultimate power. It is unconquerable. It is irresistible. It is indomitable. It is unlimited. And the Bible says it belongs to the Almighty God. I want you to know it today, if you have never known it. Power belongs to God. Doesn't belong to Satan. Doesn't belong to demons. Doesn't belong to disease. Doesn't belong to a grandiose spirit. It doesn't belong to witches and wizards and lizards and leeches. It belongs to the Almighty. Power belongeth unto God. Psalm 62 verse 11 says that. He said, once has the Lord spoken, twice have I heard that power belongs unto God. Some people are aware that there's an insidious evil power that is stronger and greater than any human or physical power. It is satanic power. It is devilish power. That is why they are more afraid of the devil than they are of God, including some Christians, unfortunately. That is why they consult babalawos all over the place and go to witch doctors and DDS. But the Spirit of God is reminding you and I tonight that power belongs to God, not to Satan, not to demons, not to disease, not to political leaders and satanic forces that are passing away. Pastor read that scripture earlier on 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. The Amplified Version says that are passing away. The CEB translation says that are being reduced to nothing. The ESV says we are doomed to pass away. God is reminding you and I that his word is irrefutable. It is irrevocable, it is immutable, it is firm, it is sure, it is unalterable, it is settled. He does not repent, he cannot lie, nor will he alter the thing that has gone out of his mouth. Therefore, his word to be trusted absolutely and completely. Psalm 119 verse 89 says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven, it is settled. His word will be settled in your life. In the course of this weekend, his word will be settled concerning your situation. People who don't know God have a reason to be afraid, but not the children of God. God is saying to you tonight, power has changed hands. Some people are saying, power must change hands. Power must change hands. Power must change hands. Power has changed hands. 2,000 years ago, power changed hands. I am telling you tonight, power has changed hands. And power changed hands to you. To me, to our benefit, to our good, to our advantage. Therefore, from today, you will walk in the power of the Holy Ghost. And nothing shall be able to withstand you all the days of your life. In the mighty name of Jesus. Let us bow our heads to pray. I'd like you to give praise and thanks again to the Lord for the word that he has sent to us tonight. I'm saying to you, brethren, be hungry for this power. Don't be satisfied with this mediocre life that you are living as a Christian. There is more in God, and you can partake of that more. There is much more in God, and you can be a recipient of that much more. There is more in God that is called the powers of the age to come. You can walk in that power. It is not the exclusive preserve and the exclusive right of a few of God's children. It belongs to everyone who is a citizen of the kingdom. And if you're a citizen of the kingdom, you should be walking in the power of the kingdom. You should be a dispenser of that power. You should be a vehicle of that power. You should be a transmitter of that power. You should be a transformer of that power. And I'm believing God that this weekend, power will begin to sparkle on the inside of you and spark forth. The electricity of Jehovah will begin to flow out of you, that you yourself will know that you are no longer the same person. When Saul the king had an encounter with the Holy Ghost, he was turned into another man. This is my prayer, that this weekend you'll be turned into another man. You'll be turned into another woman. You'll be turned into another boy. You'll be turned into another girl. That people will see you after now will say something has happened to you. This is not the same Larry that I used to know. This is not the same Bumi that I encountered a few weeks back. Something is happening by the Holy Ghost, and something must happen to you. Cry out to God tonight and say, Lord, I am not satisfied with where I am. There is more of you. There is more in you that I want to experience, that I want to partake of. Oh, Lord, help me. Anything and everything that is standing in the way of my being lost in you, of my being swallowed up by your spirit, let that thing perish, oh God. In the mighty name of Jesus, let there be an exclusion from me and a subtraction from me. Everything and anything that is insulating the flow of the electric fire and the electric power of the Holy Ghost. Speak to the Lord tonight and say, Father, do a new work in me. Do a new thing in my life. I am not satisfied. I will not be satisfied. I will not be content with where I am, where I have been, knowing that there is more in Jehovah. Now I am determined to go higher, to go further, to go deeper in the things of the Most High. Let the Lord help us tonight. Father, we call upon you. Of ourselves, we can do nothing. But you are the compassionate God. You are the God of mercy. We call upon your mercy tonight. Let mercy reach out to us and bring forth the reality of this power of the kingdom. May Kondoliestadaya, Madigos Trezio, and Tanda Gedniviendra Standahai, Lemogan Saspadile, Proswizo, Sustasizo, Mahakan Delivery Dostandina, Ongsmudrexkagandus, Pali to the Sklion Stambaga, Repababi de Profonsistana, Ainiken Devatadozai, O Pranzons Stadizanzo, Mahalidre Standadikai, Makolwigla Kumura Stambotambai, Mipa Budista Bonvivi, Handra Vujnai, Nubrevet Stadadadai, Onclusa say, Sarah died, that is a sema. I no palwaze sabakambrobadai, Matubustra bonsi, Magede tapadawaitan that ate die. Oh, my Father, let us go prepare Pantos Nubrandaduma, Aina Palidimi from Bosana, move them by your spirit, multitudes that are in the valley of decision. My Father, me Iku Provute from Francina, never be the Oma Tamborignai, Resas, Exasai, Negeza, Reknegote, Maprovestufili Prazons Tenai, Leistan Kishtagadai, blessed be your name. Thank you, our Father. We give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. Blessed be your name. Thank you because tomorrow will be greater. Will be better. Your name shall be exalted. We magnify you. And Father, if there be anybody that is sick in the meeting tonight, let your healing power go forth. I curse that infirmity. I command it to die. You said, and it will come to pass, said the Lord, that I, the Lord, will begin to undo all the affliction with which you have been afflicted. I say tonight, whatever affliction you have been afflicted with, let it be undone by the power of the Holy Ghost. From the crown of the head to the soles of the feet. From the soles of the feet to the crown of the head. Wherever there is a symptom or a manifestation of a malady, of an ailment, of an infirmity, let it die and pass out of your body. Be healed in the name of Jesus. And let the name of the Lord be glorified. Thank you, blessed Father. We give you all the praise and give you all the adoration. We thank you for helping us. Give you all the praise in Jesus' mighty name we pray. And the people of God said, Amen. God bless you once again. Thank you for the privilege of sharing the word of God. By God's grace, we'll meet again tomorrow night. God bless.
The
beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Noah's excellency of speech by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Enjoy the Spirit.